Thank you, choir. As you can see, I have a new pair of spectacles on. I had cataract surgery on Thursday, and it's really doing quite good. So, I can see better. I can see clearly now. Isn't that a song?
Yes.
Well, the Sermon on the Mount is where the Lord's Prayer is found. It's the granddaddy of all prayers. It's beautiful in its simplicity. It's right to the point. It gives a framework upon which we can take the Lord's Prayer and, as you read the Lord's Prayer, expand upon it. It's a conversation with God. You know, too often in liturgical churches, and I'm one of those Lutheran, Episcopal, and Roman Catholic churches, worship becomes rote. I remember the Lutheran service by heart from many, many years ago. The same order each week, the same prayers, the same responsive readings. Of course, the scripture changes every week, but every year it's the same around and around. Not that that's wrong, because that gives a lot of people comfort, like our new dog. Our new dog loves his cage. It's his security. It's his blanket. It's his bed. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy Vaughn gave us a beautiful bed that goes inside of his cage, and he loves that. It's like a cocoon for him. Well, I was Lutheran for the first 30 years of my life and a pastor in several Lutheran churches, and there's a kind of comfort and security in knowing what's coming next. In this church, you never know what's going to happen. Very often, it's like the little child who, before he or she goes to bed, says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Now, that's a little scary, because I remember as a kid, if I should die before I wake, now why should we pray about that? Well, I don't know. And also before meals, God is good and God is great, and we thank you for our food. It's like reading the Lord's Prayer too often. We say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Does it become meaningless? I hope not. Jesus offers a word of advice. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and synagogues where everybody can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Now, because of that admonition on the part of Jesus, I'm not a great fan of going into a restaurant and making a big deal about praying about the food. Because I think of the publicans that used to stand on the street corners and recite these prayers over and over again from rote. But every time I do go to a restaurant, every time I eat a piece of food, I thank God for it in my heart. That's the important thing. And then Jesus goes on and says, when you pray, don't babble as other people of other religions do. They think their prayers were answered merely by repeating words again and again. Don't be like that, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before him. But pray like this. Here's the Lord's Prayer in a modern translation. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive those who sin against your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. That is so important. If you don't forgive others, God is going to say, why should I forgive you? There is so much in these mere 10 verses that in the entire books have been written on them. You know, if you Google the Lord's Prayer, you know how many responses you get? 5 million responses. But if you Google dieting, you get 44 million priorities. Well, before Jesus gets to the prayer, let's examine the structure around the prayer, the ground rules for prayer. He says, first, the key element to prayer is our attitude. Are we praying so that people see us, see how holy we are and say, wow, this guy must really, this lady must be really holy because they're able to pray out loud in the public? Are we forcing God to hear us because we are so eloquent and we say prayer in a way that is very beautiful and flowery and poetic? Do we pray loudly, hopefully that we will be recognized, saying, hey, God, turn up your hearing aid. You know, I'm here. Listen to me. Make sure that you hear me. Then we babble on and on sometimes. And sometimes we talk too much. We don't stop to listen to God. That's so important. Stop to listen to God. When we hold back forgiveness of others, think in your heart, how many people in your life do you need to forgive? How many people in your life do you need to forgive? Think about that. That's so important because God wants you to do that. That's so important because forgiveness is not so much for the other person, but it's for you. When you forgive someone, it takes a weight off your heart. First, Jesus starts with two simple words, our Father. Some people have had a bad experience with fathers. I had a fantastic experience with my father. He died when I was 24. Unfortunately, I just started to become a friend with him, play golf with him, and he died. God, why did you do that? God is not a disinterested scientist. He is with us in our hearts. He's not just something out there. He's not just the starter of all things. He's not the beginning of all things. He's not only that. He is personal. He's with us. He's our father, our daddy, our papa. It's a position of intimacy. God is intimate with us. He wants to be in our hearts to be with us. Each year we celebrate Father's Day, don't we? It's coming up in a couple months. A good father spends time with his kids. He encourages them. He reads them bedtime stories. He embraces them physically. And he is irreplaceable. The same attitude that we need to have with God, that God in our life is irreplaceable. Nothing can take that place from us. We need to approach him as a loving father that wants us and just is in such joy. I remember, maybe I mentioned this before, when I was a kid in Brooklyn, New York. Great town, great little town in those days. And I'd be playing stickball or handball or street hockey or soccer or something. My father would be coming home from work down the street. I would drop everything and run up to him and give him a hug and a kiss, even as a teenager. In fact, even as a young adult, he used to kiss me. That's intimacy, and that's how we can feel with God. You know, we keep his name holy in worship. He is the most holy. Giving God the power with the line, may your kingdom come soon, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our own will is second place to God's. God's will is for our life. Please understand these words we are saying. We're giving up our plans and desires. Our plans and desires may change because of what God has done in our life. Tell you the truth, God really changed our life, Betty and mine, 11 years ago, almost 11 years ago when this church was founded. Who knew that this was going to happen? God knew. We didn't. We just couldn't do anything else because God grabbed our heart and made us change. The next line, it talks about daily provision. Give us today the food we need. Look at that video we saw about water. So basic. Look at what we have done to help these poor people in Africa have at least some clean water to drink and to bathe in instead of going down to the river. Like we sang, down to the river to pray, they had to go down to the river, and actually it caused them to die. Give us today the food that we need, the spiritual food, the sustenance in our hearts. That's so important. He's like a good daddy. He takes care of us, gets the food, the supplements that we need for our life. He wants to provide for us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As I said, that's so important. Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Jesus knew that what they were thinking, and he said, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? What is harder for you to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth. So Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, take up your bed and walk home. It made such a change. Forgiveness is what is important to God. That is the big deal. The big deal of forgiveness for it makes the healing of hurts, dissension, misunderstanding. Words spoken in haste. Look at the book of James. Read that book sometimes, and it talks about words. Once they come out of your mouth, not much you can do about it. Thoughtless actions. All can be healed by forgiveness. The person who does the forgiving, as I said, is relieved of a burden. Now, after forgiveness, the Lord's Prayer protects us. It says, don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are the devil's bait. It's like going fishing. The devil wants to fish us out of the water and take us onto him. Some of the manuscripts of Matthew's Gospel contained an ending to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Not all churches say that. This is a closing statement, a marvelous companion to the opening statement, Our Father, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Prayer is a powerful privilege. God has given us that privilege to speak to him and to listen to him. Prayer is a two-way street. You know, it's hard to get an audience with the Pope or with the President of the United States or the governor or mayors. But God is there all the time waiting, saying, here I am. Wow, how powerful that is. We don't always see the answer to prayers right away, but that's so that God will answer. The Lord's Prayer, a powerful outline to our own personal prayer. But the important concept is that I want to leave with you this morning is to talk to your God, talk to your Papa, your Abba Father, pray to him, listen to him, and it will change your life. Let us now confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.